Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
We got Mark. Good morning, Mark. How are you, mate?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you very much. It's been a great weekend, hasn't it? A great weekend of sport.
We can't complain at all. There's been a good variety.
Yeah, absolutely. The only thing I'm annoyed by is the fact that I just got into the swing of the Premier League and now we've got an international break. But
it is unfortunate, but that's the downside of playing so much football.
Yeah, and it always feels like it. Every year I moan about this because every year it feels like it comes at the wrong time.
It does, especially what we're in week three. So really we've only had a chance to see three matches of each team.
Yeah, absolutely. Where to start, Mark? Shall we do some transfers, or do you want to do the Premier League first?
We could do some transfers. I mean, we're at the end of the window, so there hasn't been too much movement, but there has been a lot of rumours.
Is it closed now?
I believe it is. Yeah. I believe it's a couple of hours away.
Yeah, okay.
Like 10 hours, I think.
Yeah.
And something we saw just this morning when I woke up was Anthony is apparently gone to Real Betis, finally.
Oh, wow.
as some Man United fans would say.
Yeah.
25 million with a 50% sell-on clause, which I think is good business for Man United because it basically gets rid of someone that they don't believe in now. But it could very well be the case if Anthony delivers another season like he did last season with Real Betis. You know, he could go for 40, 50 million and Man United could recoup some of that.
See? Yeah, absolutely.
So
yeah.
I think it's good business. Another former Man United player, Victor Lindelof, is rumoured to join Aston Villa. And I think that's a good move. I always valued his versatility. And I think it would probably help Villa a lot as well.
Yeah.
And the last major rumour I've seen this window is an Aston Villa player. And Martinez being rumored to Man United. So Man United are sort of humming and hawing over Martinez or Lemens as two goalkeepers they want to bring in. And I think they need to bring in a goalkeeper before this transfer window ends. So those are the three major deals I'm looking at right now.
Yeah. I'm just reading here. It closes at 7 p.m. UK time. On Monday, September the 1st. So we've still got some out. It's what Sky Sports were calling Christmas Day for them because it's just a busy day and lots to talk about. Isak, of course, Newcastle to Liverpool, 125 million.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Newcastle would like 130 million to get it done. I don't see it getting done, to be honest. I think if it was to be done, it would have been done a few days ago, maybe even before that Newcastle-Liverpool match. I think Liverpool want it done, but I also don't think they need it done. And they're 3 from 3 right now. they're doing quite good. We'll talk about that match against Arsenal in a little bit.
Well, I'm getting breaking news here that Liverpool have reached an agreement with Newcastle.
Really?
Yeah. So in the Telegraph, Liverpool agree £130 million Alexander Isak fee with Newcastle. And in the New York Times, for some unknown reason, strange, but anyway, they're looking at it. Liverpool reached Alexander Isak agreement with Newcastle, The Athletic reports.
I'm seeing it 47 minutes ago. This was the article. I'm saying, wow, that is something.
Yeah. So, transfer news. Man United is close to Martinez. Isak to Liverpool latest. Yeah. So it looks like it's going on.
I think that's going to take the overall spending in the Premier League this window to 1.6 billion.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
And that's a UK transfer record, 125 million, I believe, for Isak. So, amazing times. Amazing. The amount of money being spent. Any other transfer news that you want to, apart from Derby County, of course, getting Lewis Travis? Any others?
The only other I think would be worth mentioning would be Nicholas Jackson to Bayern Munich, which just collapsed. He was early in Munich doing the medical and it collapsed because Delap got injured and he was called back.
Yes.
He was alone with an obligation to buy for 70 million, which would have been the largest obligation to buy in the history of loans. But it ended up collapsing. So I think Jackson is set to stay at Chelsea this season.
Right, I'm just going to have a little moan. We'll talk a little quickly to Championship stuff that I know about. Of course, being a Derby fan, we've only got a draw so far this season. And then it looked like we were on for a win. We were 1-0 down against Ipswich, former Premier League team, of course. They're not a great start to the season. And we then get a penalty second half. We equalise with the penalty. We then score. Brewster, new player for Derby, scores a great goal, a fantastic goal. We're 2-1 up. We get to 90 minutes. There's hardly been any stoppages. 13 minutes extra time. 13th minute of extra time, Derby give a penalty away. 2-2.
I think that's been a problem as well. I think in every league, because I've watched some Man United, their Premier League matches, and there's 7, 8, 9 minutes extra time, and I just don't know where these are coming from.
I just don't know. I think we could do. I know we're getting a lot more explanations from from referees now who are speaking out. And I saw the goal scored against Chelsea, which I thought should have stood. But anyway, it was just a really strange one. And the referee speaking out after that, saying it was a dangerous challenge. Well, one, it wasn't a challenge, and two, it wasn't even dangerous. But anyway, there's a lot of refereeing decisions happening, and I've got to say, it's not looking a great start to the season for referees.
No, and I think there's more emphasis on them because, one, they're more accessible. You know, referees are no longer just, you know, going back to their changing room. They're held responsible on social media. But there's also so much technology available to them that it's almost the public perception of, listen, you can't be getting this wrong, because even if you take 15, 20 seconds extra, you know, the information's there for you to make the right call. So there really isn't much to defend them with, because there is all of this, but it's I think football fans can take, I guess, some comfort in the fact that this isn't just the problem affecting the Premier League. If you look at some of the other major sporting leagues, and I often quote the NFL, they're also having a lot of trouble with, they have the technology, but the referees are consistently making the wrong calls. So it's not just a thing that's affecting one sport. It's across every sport that is happening.
Well, Chelsea, of course, against Fulham at the weekend, and I did think that was a bit of a strange one. I think that goal should have stood for Fulham. It just looked like he turned on his heel, but for some reason it went against him. And you can imagine the Fulham manager rightly annoyed for the rest of the match by that. I don't know if you saw it.
Oh yeah, no, I did. And listen, it's something that Chelsea will obviously not complain too much about. But no, Fulham have every right to be angry about that.
The thing is, it will go against Chelsea in the future at some point as well. It won't just be, you know, it'll be Fulham then, but Chelsea will get these bad decisions going
against them.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know, even as soon as next week, it could easily go against them. Mm. And it wasn't the only match, unfortunately, that we saw, you know, VAR come into the Man United match was another one where, you know, a VAR decision actually 96th minute decided the outcome. So it's unfortunate these things are happening, but you kind of just have to move on and realize it is happening to everybody.
Yeah.
So it's Fulham this week, Chelsea next week, the week after it could be Newcastle. It's something that needs to be addressed.
I'm just going to pull a couple of matches out because we haven't got time to do all of them, of course, but you mentioned Monday night there, 3-2 over Burnley, and that was a great match as far as, especially for a neutral watching it, with the goals going in. I think we need to talk about Manchester City. Interesting that for all of, and the reason being is Man United last year didn't have a great season either, but for all the tension and that's been, and the focus that's been put on Manchester United, they're above Manchester City in the league right now.
Yeah, Manchester City, the first time I can remember, Pep has lost two of the three opening matches of a season. I don't really ever remember that happening. But it was sort of a good, you know, I've always kind of cheered on Brighton. I think they're a team that you kind of have to love. They're
absolutely
very endearing, especially as a 39-year-old James Milner,
yes,
scored and dedicated his goal to his close friend Diogo Jota. I thought that was quite sweet. But really, it came down to the changes that Brighton made at halftime. They really leased a new life into that team, because 30 minutes in, Man City were up 1-0. They really looked composed and ready to secure a win. But they started to lose that composure. I mean, I even remember in like the 94th minute, Rodri was like upset that a Brighton player was lying on the ground, and he was visibly upset and complaining to the referee. And that's just not a composed. You need, in those moments, you need to stay in the game and keep your head focused. But
yeah,
I think City's defensive errors and lack of composure as they were losing really.
Well, it just felt like they were happy to sit back on a 1-0 lead, and you can't do that when Brighton bring on five new players as well.
Yeah,
it was a great move by the manager. But City just rest on their laurels, really, didn't they? And you think, you know, why don't you have this killer instinct? You know, the City of a few years ago would have been going for a 2-3-0 at that point. But it wasn't to be. And the ruse of chances that they had as well. They had a few good chances that they didn't put away. And Brighton, like you say, brilliant, came back. I'm just going to look also, Nottingham Forest, usually going to City Ground, and a Derby County fan, I know about this. Going to City Ground is a difficult place to go to, and West Ham not having a great start. Where does this 3-0 away from home to Forest come from?
Yeah, well, it came from in the last 10 minutes. That's where it came from. It was looking like it was fairly even. You know, both teams had a fair amount of shots, because West Ham had more on target, but Forest had, you know, more possession, more passing. I think they are more accurate. They had more set pieces. This just came from, I think, you know, Forest took the foot off the gas, and West Ham completely took advantage of that. And all the sort of fan favorites, Bowen, Paqueta, and their new boy Wilson scored. It was just, I think as well, West Ham needed this more. It's been a very depressing start of the season for them, and probably one of two teams that we'd say after the first three games we thought were all going to be going down, which was probably Wolves and West Ham, were two teams we're highlighting as teams that are going to really struggle. So this could be a turning point, especially going into the international break. This is going to give them a lot of confidence on the training ground. The players who are going to stay with them are going to be, you know, much more optimistic to work. It's not going to be, you know, 0-3. So this came at the right time for West Ham. It definitely did.
Absolutely. Not so good, another team I think going to struggle this year, Aston Villa, at home, losing 3-0 to Crystal Palace. But before we move on to our next sport, because time is flying by as always, Mark, might have to get you back on tomorrow, mate. Let's just do Liverpool, and I think we're going to run out of time, so we can look at the Grand Prix tomorrow and a few other things, and maybe just, are you free tomorrow?
Yeah.
And then we can probably, because it's going to be a busy day of transfers, so let's do transfers and other sports tomorrow. But let's just mention this wonder goal at Liverpool against Arsenal. And what do you think Arsenal are lacking when it comes to playing the champions, Liverpool?
Well, I think, you know, Roy Keane put it perfectly yesterday, is that Liverpool weren't at their best, but they found a way to win, and that's what champions are.
Yeah.
And Arsenal, we would have said that was their Man United match. You know, that was their defining champion match. As in, they weren't playing their best, but they found a way to win. But this Arsenal side really looked uninspired.
Yeah.
And I think it also doesn't help that two of their key players, including their star man, Saka, is injured. So we have to take that into account. But it looked like a tame Arsenal side that were happy to play for set pieces. And when it comes to playing a side like Liverpool, who's so explosive, who have, you know, 5-6 players who could score that goal, you can't play for set pieces against a team like that. And when you have absences like Saka and Saliba, it's sort of limiting your ability to cause chaos against them. And of course, their appeals for a penalty wasn't taken very serious. But overall, it was a moment of brilliance that won this match, as it so often is between champions. For like a 30-yard free kick, I haven't seen a free kick taken in a long time, and I think it just highlights what Liverpool's intentions are. This
at some angles didn't give it justice, but when you actually stood from behind, it gave you the ref's cam, I think, of that shot. You realised just how far out he was, and what a great goal it was. I mean, obviously, Arsenal came at Liverpool at the end like you'd expect them to, but Liverpool defended really well, which we can't say has been the case for Liverpool matches so far this season. Nonetheless, I just think Arsenal would have actually said, you know what, let's just settle for a draw. Liverpool weren't going to have it.
No, not at all. I mean, you've hit the nail on the head there. I mean, every Liverpool game this season up to this point, they would have conceded two goals, you know, in the Community Shield against Newcastle, Bournemouth as well, all two goals. So we were expecting this to be a high-scoring match because Liverpool have shown that. And they're also defence has been leaky. And we knew Arsenal have, you know, a lot of players capable of that.
Yeah, I thought Arsenal were going to win, actually, but it wasn't the case.
No, but listen, this bodes well for them. And it's probably more scary now that they're 3-3.
Yeah.
They've won a game against arguably, you know, their biggest title challengers. And they've just spent $125 million on a striker.
Right. Let's talk football. Let's talk transfers. The transfer window has slammed shut, as they say. And it's been an interesting window this year, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's probably a good thing that we left at a day to talk about this because actually a lot happened.
Yeah.
Especially like we were discussing that Aston Villa and Manchester United could potentially be doing business, you know, between Martinez wanting to go to Aston Villa, who's left out of the match day squad. Unai Emery seemed very vocal that another keeper was going to be in the future of Aston Villa.
Yeah.
But that deal turned out to fall apart. Even though all through July and June, it was even rumored that Martinez was talking to former teammates at Manchester United to try to advocate for him. But Manchester United went with a different option in Le Mans, which, you know, he's much younger. There's probably more value to get out of a relationship there. But, that deal fell through. But it still wasn't, I guess, a no-go for Manchester United and Aston Villa because Jadon Sancho still ended up finding himself on loan at Aston Villa, very similar to Marcus Rashford last year. So that was quite interesting. I don't know if this is a bad thing for Manchester United, I'm going to say, but 80% of his salary being covered. So
by Man United, yeah.
Yeah, so what can we do, you know? And I think this is probably the best thing for both sides, you know, because he just needs to play games, you know, and there's no better place to do that because Aston Villa are going to need a lot of depth. They're playing a lot of games this season, more than Manchester United. I think Manchester United are only playing 42 games this season. So definitely it's good in that. Another deal that I saw fall through that really interests me is the Mark Gahey deal. This is really the last window to sell him because Crystal Palace, you know, his contract ends next year and he's not likely to sign another one because why would he? You know, he's an England international, he's a cup winner at Crystal Palace. He could go anywhere. But if you've been listening to Oliver Glasner's press conferences, you'll know that he wasn't keen at all on selling them. In fact, he offered his own resignation if Palace did sell him. So the deal fell through because Crystal Palace couldn't find his replacement, and he's staying. And on one side, yes, you are losing potentially 35, 40 million here. On another side, you've kept one of your key players,
yeah,
and this puts you in a very strong position to actually go have a go at another trophy, one that comes to mind, the Conference League.
Yeah.
It's not an amazingly strong league. Crystal Palace, you know, if they do end up keeping Gehi after the Christmas window, could easily go on and win that.
And also, I mean, I've never heard it where managers said, look, I'm going to resign if he goes. That's quite a thing. And he's a good manager. He's been a good manager for Crystal Palace, so I can understand why this is just best to keep him in place for now.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, listen, you're losing potentially 30 million, but another chance at a continental trophy and keeping your key manager, because Glasner, we've talked a lot about Crystal Palace players this window, you know, Eze going, of course, Alicia the summer before, and Gehi this window, but Glasner is just a key piece to all of that puzzle.
Absolutely,
as anyone else.
Absolutely.
So you need to keep him happy. And another key transfer, I think this is one we need to cover, is Donnarumma has completed his move to Manchester City. So Manchester City have picked up two first-team goalkeepers this window, Trafford and now Donnarumma. So that's quite scary because the last two games, you know, defensive errors, and especially in one of those games more than another, Trafford there has led to goals. So his position is under quite a lot of pressure, and that's probably not going to stop anytime soon with, you know, a Champions League winner, one of the world's best goalkeepers coming into the squad.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about Trafford, actually. And it just, very similar to our situation at Derby, actually, with our goalkeeper, just flapping around a little bit and just doesn't instill confidence. You know, you need somebody absolutely solid there, and so we'll see what happens. Did they manage to sell their goalkeeper, Man City?
Edison. Yeah, they did. Yeah. To Fenerbahce,
yeah,
and the team that recently sacked Jose Mourinho.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is, I think, a good time for him to leave. Like, he was an innovator in the game. Him and Alisson changed how goalkeeping was conducted in the Premier League, but it was time to move on.
Yeah.
It was, I think, it was a natural conclusion that it probably should have happened last summer, but they held on to him for another season, and this was just the right time for it, and you kind of, there's no ill will, there's no, oh, we could have went for one more. It wasn't like the Joe Hart situation at Man City when Pep arrived. It was more of just a natural conclusion of they've won everything. I mean, I think six Premier League titles, Champions League, you know, multiple cup wins, continental wins. So I think it was the right time to move on. And talking about moving on, another one that actually caught my attention was Harvey Elliott and agreeing a deal with Aston Villa from Liverpool. Elliott's a player that I think Liverpool rated very highly, rate very highly, and he's a good snatch-up for Aston Villa. He's a good player.
Absolutely, yeah. And we've got to mention Isak as well, going to Liverpool. That was kind of breaking yesterday morning. And Newcastle not really thanking him, really, in their statement. It's been a bitter sour taste left in the mouths of the Newcastle fans, I'm sure, as well.
Yeah, I don't think Isak will have any regrets, because ultimately he's 25, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. For him, the priority is he doesn't want to be involved in a project that might only come to fruition when he's 31, 32. Like, he wants to win trophies now, which you can't blame any football player for doing. But I can definitely see why, because they took a chance on Isak when he was playing for Real Sociedad. He was seen as a player with a very high ceiling, but he struggled with injuries. So, you know, spending 60 million on a player like that comes with a lot of risk. But at the same time, they've doubled their money, and now they can go chase people in the transfer window. And this gives them a lot of revenue to work with. We've seen in the past Newcastle have struggled to do deals on that magnitude of, you know, of north of 80, 90 million, because to do those deals, you need to be a big club that has a lot of revenue on the books.
Yeah.
This 130 million is a lot of revenue that can go let them chase bigger players. So I understand why Newcastle fans are upset, but in another way, this is a very good deal for them.
Yeah, okay. I think we'll leave the transfers that window. It's been an amazing window, it really has. Let's move on to something completely different now. Formula One, Dutch Grand Prix at the weekend, of course, and Lando Norris' hopes are being dashed at the moment.
Yeah, this was a really exciting race. I think if you talk to a lot of F1 fans, this is the kind of race you wanted after the summer break. Although, you know, Oscar Piastri never really looked like losing. So it wasn't a race that was exciting for you know, whoever was going to win. But it was just generally exciting as in, you know, both Ferraris were out. And I remember Hamilton just took a turn too wide, and it was kind of unlucky, but at the same time, it still was a driver error. And then Leclerc was pushed into the barrier by rookie Kimi Antonelli, who's had a couple of rough races. And then, of course, Max Verstappen had a great race coming in P2. But the big news was, of course, Norris having a mechanical issue, which now leaves him 34 points short of Piastri in the race. So really, we're looking at maybe Piastri similarly having a mechanical error if Norris is to catch up. But the part of the race that I think I enjoyed the most was Isaac Hadjar getting his first podium. And if you've been watching since the start of the season, you'll notice that he had a very rough start to his career as a rookie in Australia. He crashed out before the race even started, actually, on the formation lap. And a lot of peers, a lot of higher-up people, including Helmut Marko and Red Bull, were just really dismissive. You know, they weren't supportive at all in the media. They kind of said, you know, it was an amateur mistake. So he's had a very high mountain to climb. And this was just really sort of a climactic finish to that. As in, you know, he's climbed all those mountains of doubts, and now he's got his first podium in his rookie year. So that was just a wonderful breakthrough moment. And now the question goes, you know, Yuki Tsunoda is struggling for 10th, 9th place in those races. Where does this leave Hadjar for next season? That Red Bull seat is open. Do they want to continue developing him at Racing Bulls, or do they want to give him a chance at the big seat that has crushed a lot of drivers so far?
We shall see. Okay, moving on to a UFC fight that's going to be taking place in the White House, or on the White House grounds anyway, in America.
Yeah, we don't really have too many details about this, but I wanted to talk about it because I just found it to be, you know, wonderfully bizarre.
Yes.
As in that Dana White, the president of the UFC, has confirmed plans with the president of the United States, Donald Trump, for having a fight on the White House South Lawn on Independence Day next year. I thought that was quite significant.
Absolutely, and well, you just couldn't imagine it happening with Joe Biden, could you, or any other president, really? But it's going to be quite a sight.
Trump and White go back quite a lot of years because there has been a number of UFC fights in Trump's casinos and hotels, so it's not too much of a surprise. And we see Trump at a lot of fights anyway. The question is, you know, you're having a fight at the White House. You want to have an American fighter there who's, you know, going to win and it's going to do the country proud. Right now, there's very few American fighters in the UFC who could maybe go for a title fight, because that's what you want at the White House. You're at the White House, you might as well do a title fight.
Absolutely.
And so the question is John Jones, the greatest of all time, as they call him, coming out of retirement for one more title fight against the British Tom Aspinall for the White House? And that would be the ultimate fight to have there, because you have an American who has only lost once in his career against a young and aspiring
big gamble.
It is a big gamble.
Losing at the White House.
You got old stock versus young stock, but this is the fight you have to have at the White House, because there has to be someone American in my mind.
Yeah.
You know, it just kind of has to be.
Especially on Independence Day as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's going to... Yeah, what a gamble that is as well, because if you lose, well, you know, that's going to be on your record. We'll stay in America then. Look at NFL games for the biggest... And the biggest trade-off in history as well taking place.
Yeah, this is, I think, 3 or 4 days old now, but the Dallas Cowboys traded their four-time Pro Bowler and, you know, most elite player in my mind, Micah Parsons, to the Green Bay Packers. This has just been all over the media. For all the wrong reasons, Jerry Jones has been highly criticized for a player he could have picked up in April for, you know, $30, $35 million. He then traded to the Packers for 2 first-round picks that are going to be late-round picks because the Packers have went to the playoffs for the last 4 years. So we're talking, you know, picks in, you know, the 20s, maybe even 30s. And an aging Kenny Clark, who's a fan favorite at Green Bay. And Parsons signed a $188 million extension, making him the highest non-paid QB player in NFL history. But the big news is here, he's only 26. And he is one of the most elite players in the NFL. Why is a team like Dallas Cowboys giving that player up for what is so little? Because we've seen, you know, top players before go for 4, maybe 5 first-round picks. And, you know, players who are more in their prime. But this is really a baffling trade that that no one can really make sense of, and no one's questioning. You know, it's, and I'm very happy because I'm a Packers fan. But yeah, that is it. Now we're going into the first week of the season, and we're all very excited because now we get to see what all these trades and the drafts, like what is actually what, because you can obviously make a lot of presumptions and assumptions off, you know, preseason games and training camps. But what matters is week one when you show up. And it's a very exciting time in the NFL because it's never been more international. You know, week one seasons in Brazil, we're going to Spain, England, Ireland, Germany, all this season. So there's going to be matches all around the world. And I've picked 4 matches here that I think are must-watches. Yep. The Cowboys versus the Eagles. I cannot see the Eagles losing this. They're the defending champs, and the Cowboys have traded away their best players this season. And the Chiefs and the Chargers, this one is going to be in Sao Paulo in Brazil. It's a bit of a rivalry in the AFC West, but I have to see the Chiefs pulling away with this. And the Packers and the Lions in Wisconsin, I was going with the Lions, but I think the Micah Parsons trade has pushed me to the Packers. And the Bengals and the Browns, which I see the Bengals doing fairly easily, and that's the roundup for the NFL.
Fabulous. Okay, right. Have you been watching any tennis?
I have. I actually wanted to cover that next week. I was watching the round of 16. Yeah, I thought it was very interesting.
Yeah, we'll cover that one next week. That's for sure. And also, I noticed that Channel 5 now in the UK are having NFL on there as well. And so it's getting more and more popular, NFL around the world. And hopefully, so is soccer in the US. I was watching an old video clip of the Portuguese president from a few years ago, the first term of Donald Trump's presidency, and he's talking about, well, of course, we've got the greatest player in the world in Ronaldo, and Donald Trump didn't really know much about him at all. But he just shows you kind of the American response to soccer there. But anyway, right, Mark, have a lovely day. Thank you for bringing us all up to date. Lots going on, and you can maybe go and get yourself a cup of tea or something now.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Emoji moment from Sadie, who writes, I'm not crying, you're crying. This is what I said during my first appointment with my physician at Mochi, because I didn't have to convince him I needed a GLP-1. He understood, and I felt supported, not judged. I came for the weight loss and stayed for the empathy. Thanks, Sadie. I'm Myra Ahmed, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Sadie is a Mochi member compensated for her story.
A Mochi moment from Mark, who writes, I just want to thank you for making GLP-1s affordable. What would have been over $1,000 a month is just $99 a month with Mochi. Money shouldn't be a barrier to healthy weight. 3 months in, and I have smaller jeans and a bigger wallet. You're the best. Thanks, Mark. I'm Myra Ahmed, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Mark is a Mochi member compensated for his story.